up here I have different artifacts explaining some of them are alien metals that have been produced both on this planet and the confines of outer space that are now used in all stealth aircraft.
It's hard to tell people that our advancement in technology is so far ahead of what they know about that what they think is magic is actually real. And what they can do is project a flying object like a Boeing 767 and project light, sound, everything it needs for people to believe that that was a Boeing 767 going at 300 miles an hour across the tops of the buildings and hitting the World Trade Center.
You are listening to an episode of Jerry Pippin's Conspiracy Hour. And now, your host, Jerry Pippin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Conspiracy Hour. I thought that we would start off today's show with a short list of known and proven conspiracies. A lot of people think conspiracies don't exist. Well, we have news for you. We can run down a list here, and we could add a whole lot more than these if we wanted to.
This is an NBC News bulletin. Shots were fired near President Kennedy in Dallas. Here is a report from Robert McNeil, NBC News, with the presidential party in Dallas.
Several shots were fired as President Kennedy's motorcade passed through downtown Dallas. Crowds screamed and lay down on the grass. As the motorcade went by, police broke away and began chasing an unknown gunman across some railroad tracks. It was not known if the shots were aimed at the president. Repeat, it is not known if the shots were aimed at the president. This is Robert McNeil, NBC News, in Dallas, Texas.
And here is a flash from the Associated Press in Dallas. The Associated Press reports that the president was seriously wounded. This is not confirmed. This is a flash. Repeat, this is a flash from the Associated Press in Dallas. They report that the president was seriously wounded by an assassin's bullets.
The Kennedy assassination is probably the best-known conspiracy, but there were many others, many involving assassinations. We'll have more about the Kennedy assassination later in this monologue. But first, let's talk about the other assassinations. Multiple plots to assassinate Fidel Castro. Remember that? Let's talk about proven conspiracies. Operation Northwoods. We've talked to Jim Mars about that a lot. You remember what that was about? Operation Northwoods is very similar in many ways to 9/11. It involved an aircraft being hijacked and the passengers killed and blown up. And actually, there was no such thing. No hijacking and an empty airplane. Go to, you can look up Operation Northwoods, and we'll probably do a show about that along the line. There have been several Freedom of Information Acts released documents that have laid out a pretty incredible story. Then, of course, there's the JFK assassination. And if you want a real conspiracy, you don't have to go very far there. All you have to do is read the church committee's report, and it's hair-raising. So anyone that says that the official government of the United States didn't look at the assassination of JFK in a different view than the Warren Commission, they forgot about the church committee. Then there's the Gulf of Tonkin incident, in which most of the Vietnam War was escalated because of an incident that never happened. All you have to do is read the Pentagon Papers to understand that. Then there's the Robert Kennedy assassination. We've done several shows about that, and we'll be doing some more. A lot of evidence that the LA police just ignored the fact that there were many bullets around, and more than one shooter, probably. And Sirhan, probably mind control. Then there's the assassination of Carlos Allende and many other people around the world who have been assassinated by the CIA Another conspiracy theory was our effort to overthrow the Chilean government. We can thank Henry Kissinger for that. And then, of course, oh, yes, there was the Iran-Contra arms for hostage deal. And exactly what happened there, a lot of evidence that Iran cooperated with the Reagan people to make sure he got elected over Jimmy Carter. Oh, now we're getting into current history. Well, not so current. It's been a long time now since the Bush administration falsified the Iraqi WMDs and that information. Weapons of mass destruction never existed. So we fought a war. Thousands of troops died over a fraudulent conspiracy to involve us in combat. And evidently, just to make a lot of money. Well, there was some evidence that Saddam Hussein had some, or at least we said he did, but we neglected to mention that those missiles, weapons of mass destruction, the biological weapons, all of it had a little stamp on it, made in the USA. For instance, those sarin gas shells that he used in the Iraqi-Iran war also had that stamp on it, made in the USA. And then, oh yes, lies were mentioned about Iran. We've got computer reports from the CIA saying that they are developing nuclear weapons. They may be, but there's some evidence that a lot of that's been falsified. For instance, there was a nondescriptive holding tank that we cited as proof of an Iranian effort to get an A-bomb. And talking about that, why shouldn't Iran have an A-bomb? Everyone else in the whole world seems to have one. 4, 5, 8, maybe 100 or even more. Russia and Ukraine, at least 1,000. That's old stuff, without about 20% reliability. But what that means is you got a 4 out of 5 chance that it may go off someplace else if they had to use them. They're still around and still activated. One thing we haven't talked too much about is they have a way to deliver these nuclear weapons now. It's called a Satan rocket, appropriately. Then there's China. An estimated low of 52 online ICBMs to a high and still building of over 100 and counting. And Anthony Sanchez of the Scepter Radio Network has done a lot of evidence and revelations about an underground base. In fact, several, all tied together in China with lots of supplies and a way to support life for a long time. Now, what's that all about? Then we can move on to other people who have atomic weapons: India, Pakistan, North Korea, South Africa, Israel. Israel has over 200. Some of them are aimed at Europe. And then there's France. They have over 200 as well. Some in France are aimed at the United States and Russia and the European Union. Now, France is our ally, but their nuclear industry helped China build atomic and H-bombs, as well as North Korea and Pakistan. England has 200. We're not sure where they're pointed. And, of course, there's a hostess with the mostess, and that's the good old United States of America. What would we call that? The nuclear arms race conspiracy? Now we have a new conspiracy surfacing today. Evidently, 4 United States soldiers were plotting to assassinate Barack Obama, the president, and overthrow the government. A court in Georgia has heard prosecutors lay out the evidence. Prosecutor Isabel Pauley said on Tuesday that the group had already spent $87,000 on guns and bomb-making materials, and they were plotting to take over Fort Stewart in Georgia. They planned to bomb targets in Savannah and also Washington, D.C., as well as assassinating the President of the United States. So who says there aren't conspiracies? If you look closely, they're everywhere. And, of course, we haven't mentioned the corporate conspiracies. They're everywhere, too. Remember British Petroleum and the fiasco in the Gulf? Lots of cover-ups there. And we haven't mentioned the Japan nuclear disaster, either. So as far as cover-ups and conspiracies, They're not only in the government, in official capacity, but in some of our major corporations, they try to cover things up as well. We could go on and name other conspiracies as well. And on this show, the Conspiracy Hour, we intend to cover all of them this season as we go week to week. Let's get back to the JFK assassination. It's hard to believe, but we're coming up on the 50th anniversary. A lot of people were not alive when it happened. So I thought it would be appropriate for us to give you the
details
by simply playing the audio of this television report from a local television station who was reading the United Press International bulletins. White House correspondent Miriam Smith got the scoop on that ahead of everybody else. And he was in the press bus, jumped off the bus, ran over to a payphone. Remember, there were no cell phones back in those days. So let's listen. You can hear the announcer grabbing his lavalier mic, goes around his neck, and he's holding it and talking into it as he interrupts this program in daytime television.
And very often you'll find a zipper hidden in the arm.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You'll excuse the fact that I'm out of breath, but about 10 or 15 minutes ago, a tragic thing, from all indications at this point, has happened in the city of Dallas. Let me quote to you this, and you'll excuse me if I am out of breath. A bulletin, this is from the United Press, from Dallas. President Kennedy and Governor John Connally have been cut down by assassin's bullets in downtown Dallas. They were riding in an open automobile when the shots were fired. The president, his limp body carried in the arms of his wife, Jacqueline, has rushed to Parkland Hospital. And if you'll excuse me if I give some directions and we talk about what we're going to do here for the next few minutes, but Bobby, let's tape this, if you please, particularly the interview with the eyewitness people. It is being taped good. Here's a piece of copy that was rushed to me and was torn off from the United Press in Dallas. President Kennedy has been shot in Dallas, Texas. He was shot as a motorcade left downtown Dallas. Mrs. Kennedy jumped up and grabbed the president. She cried, oh no, as the motorcade sped on. An Associated Press photographer, James Algens, 8LTGENS, reports he saw blood on the president's head. The AP man said he heard two shots but thought someone was shooting fireworks until he saw the blood on the president.
The JFK assassination? We have several shows planned about that. But right now, in this hour, we're going to move forward. After the break, a little later in the show, we'll take a look at 9/11. We're going to do that every week because we feel that we can prove 9/11 was an inside job. We once again do our plea that we do every week. If you are a person who has some inside information, maybe you were doing your job at the time, and now in hindsight, over a decade later, you begin to figure out exactly what happened. If you have a story to tell, contact me at jerry@jerrypippin.com. This 9/11 crime, and it was a crime, will only be uncovered if we can find some people to talk who were involved. Hopefully, they'll come forward. But we have plenty of information about 9/11 and other things as we continue with the Conspiracy Hour. I'm Jerry Pippin. Tales of High Strangeness, Jerry Pippin's Parazone. Check out our stories of the horrific, the interesting, the spiritual on the paranormal pages of jerrypippin.com.
Scepter Radio Network, internet radio uncensored, unconstrained, and unleashed, where sometimes the questions are more dangerous than the answers. And now, your host, Jerry Pippin.
Welcome back to the show. I want to follow up on 9/11 a little bit. If you were listening to the episode before this one, you heard us talk to a lady by the name of Elizabeth Nelson, and she was an eyewitness to a shoot down of Flight 93. Or at least she thinks that's what she saw. If you haven't heard that episode, it's on the archives at SEPTA Radio, and it's also on JerryPippin.com under the conspiracy files. I urge you to listen to it.
I want to follow up on the testimony of Elizabeth Nelson, a young woman who was a PFC at the time of the shootdown of Flight 93, which she confirms in an interview with Project Camelot's Bill Ryan. We've been in contact with Bill Ryan. He is in Switzerland right now, but he did send me an email this morning. He writes this, he says, I am willing to stake my reputation on the fact that this woman is recalling her actual experiences to the best of her ability. I have spent time with her, and I am 100% certain she is telling the truth as best as she remembers. The second thing I want to talk about is a posting on a blog that occurred on Friday, April 11th. The name of the blog is George Washington Blog Spot. I'm going to read part of it now. Quote, I am an Air Force veteran. I was serving at Langley Air Force Base, Virginia on September 11th, not to be confused with CIA headquarters at Langley, Virginia. The alert squadron of four F-16 Falcons were also stationed at Langley Air Force Base. The planes were scrambled after the plane crashed into the Pentagon. Because of my position as a ground equipment mechanic, I had access to the flight line operations that day. My friends were crew chiefs and weapons loaders, among other professionals on the flight line that day. One of my unusual duties that day was to drive a loader, a personal friend, along with a rack of live missiles, AIM-9s and AIM-120s, across the active runway to the alert squadron and drop them off. I was towing equipment to the flight line, so when it was time to go back and pick up the loader, I was unable to do so. But another member of my flight group, a good friend and later roommate, did go. According to my roommate, and I later confirmed this with the loader was completely silent most of the trip back to our side of the base. But after they crossed the active line, he spoke. They shot one down. JJ replied, what? The loader. One of those 16s came back with one less missile than when it left. That was all. That's all he said. As they pulled back to the squadron area, the loader was whisked away by his commanders for debriefing. I didn't see him for a few days, but when I did, he said he couldn't talk about it, but he confirmed that what my roommate had told me was true. The U.S. Air Force shot down Flight 93. I haven't told this to many people. I told my parents and other family members after I left the military. They didn't believe it. I figured no one else would either. I kept my mouth shut. Everyone was dedicated to the president and to the country. And anything that went against the official media-delivered story was viewed as unpatriotic. I knew that I loved my country, so I kept my mouth shut. But I just can't do that anymore. I know that I don't have any documents to prove it, and I have no way of knowing where the others who were involved are these days, so I can't prove anything. All I have is my word, and with God as my witness, that is the truth. I am sure that there's lots of people out there with similar experiences, with the Twin Towers in New York, at the Pentagon, and here with Flight 93. That's one of the reasons we're doing this show. We solicit listeners who think they may have something, regardless of how small of a detail or an item, to please contact me and talk to me about it. Either email me at jerry@jerrypippin.com, or you can call me on the phone, 918-682-2630. We're doing this series because we know the truth is out there. Before we get to our guest for this show, there's something else I want to cover. The thermite story. A group of respected scientists who had access to samples of the particles, the dust, and the granules of the material left on the street after the implosion of the Twin Towers and Building 7 in New York on September 11th finally have released their report. The report turned out to be just as it had been rumored to be, nanothermite. a derivative of the explosive which is used to cut through steel at 2,500 degrees. It's also used in an explosive. Nano means very small particles. Nanotechnology is fairly new. Not many people know how to use it. Certainly, members of the United States government do. We have posted on our 9/11 page a link to the complete report. This is something I would urge you to read, especially if you're scientifically inclined. Plus, we have a link to Denmark TV and an interview with one of the scientists who was involved in the study. Don't worry. It has English subtitles, and I would urge you to watch it. I received a note from Gordon Novell, the infamous private detective, who is a consultant for our 9/11 series. Novell thinks this report is the loaded gun, not a smoking gun, but a loaded gun. He thinks this is what is needed to get a criminal investigation going on 9/11. I hope he is right, but it appears from whatever reason that nothing has been done in the past. And we thought we've had a lot of evidence before. In my opinion, and the opinion of many others, what is needed is a real criminal investigation where people are under oath and are questioned about all of this. Let's hope the authorities do get interested. Coming up next, we have Paul Cross, a well-known actor, movie director, and writer who was at the Pentagon the day of the attack, September 11th, 2001. What Paul saw that day caused him to do his own personal investigation into the events. And the result is a dynamic docudrama about a major who first went along with the story, the cover story, and later a guilt of conscience, or maybe it was his patriotism, got the best of him, and he challenged the authorities on the story. The name of the film is Severe Visibility. Stay tuned. I think you'll find this interview fascinating. This is Jerry Pippin, and we're investigating 9/11.
You know, when we pause for a commercial, it's always for somebody who pays the freight, pays the way. Well, I'm going to take time out to talk about somebody who can't pay their way. And that's the stray animals, dogs and cats and other animals, who need your help. And there is a way to help them. Support no-kill animal shelters. It's a gift of life that keeps on giving. These animal shelters are located around the world and maybe in your neighborhood. Animals, they need love. They don't need to be sent someplace and then executed just because they don't have a home. Support the animal shelter that is a no-kill shelter near you. Give them a donation of $10, $25, $50 or more. The money will be well used. The animals will love you for it. So give a gift of love, a gift of life, to that stray dog or cat.